Father, we want to come to your word and be changed by you again. We want to be equipped and empowered and instructed in the ways that we are to walk. Lord, would you put your anointing on each of us? Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint me as a speaker and a preacher and a teacher to speak what you want to be said. We pray you do that powerful thing through the simplicity of preaching, where somehow you speak to the hearts of everyone individually. I don't know how you do it, but you do it, and I ask you to do it today. In Jesus' name, amen. We are talking about living on purpose, and this is our sixth week together on this topic. And so you've heard me say this every time. When I am talking about living on purpose, I have two thoughts in mind. One, living intentionally would be living on purpose, not just floating downstream with wherever currents will take you, but living in a particular direction with making decisions, walking steadfastly in a way, spending your life. By the way, you know, after today's done, you'll have spent today. And it's spent. By the way, you can't save it up. You can't bank today. It's gone after today. So you're going to spend today, and if you live tomorrow, you'll spend tomorrow. So we want to spend it wisely is the point. Secondly, the thought of living on purpose is living according to a particular purpose, that you have a purpose and I have a purpose and God has a purpose for us, and that's the purpose that we want. We don't look to ourselves to find our purpose. We look to God to find our purpose. We look to his word. We look to his spirit. We even look to the community of faith. There is a purpose for us. If we look to ourselves, we might find something other than God's purpose. I think a way to say it is we don't approach God so he can help us fulfill his purposes. We approach God in a way that he captures our hearts and employs us or engages us in his purposes. An overriding passion, even as what I'm speaking about today for me, is something we sang about. I believe that it is our ultimate goal that we see people everywhere on this planet, both having a revelation of who Jesus is, how good he is, how glorious he is, and as a result of that revelation, having a heart and a life that worships him, where people everywhere know Jesus. They know God the Son. They know God, the one who created this planet, and they know God, the one who created them. And as a result of knowing him, really intimately knowing him, they give their lives in worship to him. It is my passion and my desire that everything we do gets to that, and that people on this planet will worship Jesus until there's a day when he's going to return to this earth. And I can just hear it in my ears right now as I imagine it, the whole earth breaking into applause and shouting as our Creator returns. And we say, yes, welcome, Jesus. We've been waiting for you. You finally came back. Thank you for coming. Take your place, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think that's what the Bible says. Therefore, we will meet him in the air and be with him forever. That's where I'm going. So one of the things we know is that we are called to do the works of Jesus. We are called as people that know him to proclaim his message. And as his disciples, like apprentices, we learn to do what the teacher teaches and what the teacher does. So we are to be people who say what he says and do what he does. We proclaim the message of Jesus and we do the works of Jesus. But foundational to all that is what we're talking about today. And that is, we are to be like him in character. And it's his purpose that we become like Jesus. Catch this. It's his purpose that every person becomes like Jesus. If you are not someone who's even a follower of Jesus, I'm just going to tell you something that you can choose to believe or not. We can dialogue about it. But Jesus is God the Creator, and he created you. And it is his purpose that you become like he demonstrated himself to be when he took on humanity and walked on this planet. And there's a process to get there. The first step is receiving his life into yours. And then as you receive your his life into yours, you walk through life, him living his life through you, and you become like him. God's purpose is for you to become like Jesus. And one of the reasons I think that we who call ourselves Christians sometimes don't feel very effective or simply aren't effective as we are proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus to people is that people realize we don't look anything like the thing that we're selling. Never trust a naked tailor. Right? Never trust a naked tailor. I was in college a few years ago now. 1983, I think. Wow. They did have computers then because I was getting a computer science degree, believe it or not. But they were a little different than they are now. And I remember there was a girl, I can even remember her name. It just came to me, but I won't say it in case she's here and I didn't recognize you. Wouldn't that be funny? And she was in some of my classes. And I would have never guessed that she was a believer, a follower of Jesus. And I had grown up in the church, so I was a Christian. And one day, it was pretty clear that whatever group she was with had sent her out on assignment to try to save people. So she came to try to save me. And I was first of all, surprised that she was a Christian. Because I had interacted with her, and she didn't strike me as someone who looked a lot like Jesus in her behavior. And then she just put on the message. She looked at me and she said, "Oh, Ron, I can see the emptiness in your eyes." And I'm sure that she was a new believer and that she'd been taught a method for how to proclaim a message. And I, being a computer science major, I had just done an all-nighter, so I may have looked empty in my eyes. I'm not sure. But I just remember the disconnect, and it made it very clear to me that example in the Word of God and just our experience, there is something about authenticity, reality, and honesty. It is fine for you not to have arrived and tell people about Jesus, as long as you don't act like you've arrived, right? Remember, someone said that Christianity is a bit like one beggar telling another beggar where the soup line is. Not that we've got it all figured out, but you know, I'm hungry and I found something to eat, and I think you look, maybe you're hungry, you'd like to come too, and I found Jesus and he's helped me, and I know I got a long way to go, but I found him and he's helped, and I'm not where I was, and I think you'd like him too, and want to meet him? You know, you can be authentic like that and get somewhere. There was a... Well, let me ask you, who knows the name John Stott? Not many. So John Stott was an Anglican priest. He died not that long ago. He was born in 1921, died in 2011. He was one of the most notable leaders of the evangelical movement around the world. He was one of the authors of the 1974 Lausanne Covenant, which really moved the whole body of Christ forward in international evangelism missions like nothing, changed the world. Time magazine named him one of the top most 100 influential people in the world. Billy Graham called him the most respected clergyman in the world today. Important person, tell you about him. I found his last address, the last thing he ever spoke, his final address, and he was speaking about the topic that I'm going to speak about. I'll just say his words at the beginning. He said, "I remember vividly some years ago that the question which perplexed me as a younger Christian and some of my friends as well was this: what is God's purpose for his people? Granted that we have been converted, granted that we've been saved and received new life in Jesus, what comes next? Of course, we know that the famous statement of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, that it's the chief end of man to glorify God and enjoy him forever. You've all heard that, I think, because I've said it multiple times. We knew that. We believed it. We also toyed with some briefer statements, like one of only five words, love God, love your neighbor. But somehow, neither of these, nor some others that we could mention, seemed wholly satisfactory. So I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest as I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth. And this is the final address of John Stott, God wants his people to become like Christ. Christ-likeness is the will of God for the people of God." So the way I wrote this in your handout and for my thinking is this phrase I started out with: doing the works of Christ needs to flow out of his character. The noise of a loveless heart will drown out the sweetest melodies of our best works. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes these words: if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, if I'm a good Pentecostal, hallelujah, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I surrender my body to the flames under the most intense persecution, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then you know the goes on, if you've heard this chapter of 1 Corinthians, you've heard it at many weddings. Love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle. It goes on to describe love. It describes the character of Jesus is what it does. We are called to become like Christ. And I barely see that clock. So this first part of this, this is a Bible study I have in your notes for you. And the first part is I'm going to read quickly three places that it says this in the Bible. And the first one is past. It says God has predetermined before we even knew him. He knew us and he knew that we would become like Christ. The second is as we're progressing in life, it is what's happening right now. What's happening today as you're hearing the word, what was happening today as we were worshiping is that we are our being, present tense, transformed in his likeness. And then John says, in the future, when Jesus comes back, we will be like him. Here's the phrases right out of the Bible. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For the reason God works for your good, who love him and are called according to his purpose, is because those he foreknew, he predestined. He set their destination. If you use Google Maps, you tell it your destination, and it tells you how to get there. This is not unlike that. He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So you know, this is God's plan from before you knew God. God foreknew you who would choose him. He knew that you would choose him, and it was his plan that you become like Jesus. Second one, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we who with unveiled faces are beginning to reflect the Lord's glory. It's a great passage of scripture, and I'd love just to stop there and do the whole thing. 2 Corinthians 3 is awesome, but we can't do that, so we'll keep going. Are being transformed into his likeness. Are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We who reflect the glory of the Lord are becoming more like him. You are becoming more like him if you are reflecting the Lord. If you're in this place and you don't even know the Lord, if today you say, I surrender, you be Lord of my life, come in and change me from the inside out, you're already becoming more like Christ from glory to glory, ever increasing glory. The third one, dear friends, John the Beloved writes, we are now the children of God, and what we will be has not been known yet, but we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him or her purifies themselves just as Jesus is pure. So it's important hope. So there's many ways we could talk about what it means to become like Christ. We don't do the things he didn't do. We do the things he did do. Jesus' perfect righteousness, so that's in there. Wow, who can do that, right? That's why we're becoming like Christ. Remember, we are a people who believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit today to empower us to do the works of Jesus. And next week we'll be talking more about the empowering work of Jesus. We believe in laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed. We literally believe in casting out demons if they're tormenting people. All the works we saw Jesus do, all those things are important. They are the work of the army of God. You're not an audience, you're an army. But we must also have the character of Christ. We're becoming like him. So I'm going to just address four things, and I'm going to do it quickly and leave it to you to maybe do some more study. Four parts of Scripture that describe how we can become and are becoming like Christ. One is becoming like him in the way he humbled himself and didn't hang on to position but let it go. Two is having the heart of a servant, one who would take the place of a slave and even wash his disciples' feet. Three, his self-sacrificing love. And four, how he endured in the face of suffering. So just four things. And just for time, I'll go quickly. One, the attitude of humility. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Some translations say your mind. Put this mind on. Who being in very nature God. Jesus is God. He takes on humanity and walks on this earth. But being God, he did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became even obedient to death, even death on a cross. He didn't hang on to his rights. We Americans sometimes like to get a lawyer to help us stand up for our rights, which sometimes is appropriate, but many times we are to let go of our rights in order to serve, in order to become humble. There's a humility in Jesus that he's calling you and me to. And I tell you, when you are humble, it is attractive to people. And when you are arrogant, it is repulsive. You've probably run into arrogant Christians, and they don't draw you to Jesus. We want to be like Jesus, humble, willing to let go of our privileges, willing to let go of our rights. Some translations say he emptied himself. The heart of a servant. Jesus, the night he was betrayed, the description from John's gospel is he knew the Father had put all things under his power. He knew who he was. He knew that he'd come from God. He knew where he was going, that he was returning to God. So, having this incredible, confident identity, he knows who he is. I'm from God. All things are under my feet. I have the power of God. I'm returning to God. Because of that heart, he then takes off his outer clothing, wraps a towel on his waist, pours water in a basin, and begins to wash his disciples' feet, and then drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This would have been a custom normal for a slave to do as guests came to a household. And then he said, do you know what I've just done? You call me teacher, you call me Lord, and rightly so. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. The heart of a servant toward each other, heart of a servant toward our world. A humble heart of a servant is becoming like Jesus. Self-sacrificing love. Ephesians 4. Oh, I'd love to teach Ephesians 4 right now. So much good in here. But just this one nugget. Don't let only unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Only what's helpful so it builds people up. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of brawling and slander. Get rid of malice. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. Just as Christ forgave you, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When I give myself up for you, when I say no to what I want in order to say yes to what's good for you, it is a fragrant sacrifice of God, and I'm becoming like Jesus. Fourthly, enduring and suffering. Peter wrote this, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. Because Christ set an example and did it for you. And last night, have you ever seen the movie 42? I watched 42 last night. Have you seen that? Who has seen 42? Me? And okay. You guys, you should watch that. It's this Jackie Robinson story. And what's amazing, maybe it's about baseball for you. It wasn't about baseball for me. In the story, the man who's the owner of the Brooklyn Dodgers, who gets this crazy idea to invite a black man into his team in 1947 in America that's very, very racially segregated, lots of problems there. His heart is about God. And he has this situation in this incredible encounter with Jackie Robinson in this tunnel after the manager of the opposing team, I think, is it Pittsburgh Pirates? is just brutalizing him. And he talks to Jackie and he says, only you can do this fight. It's like Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days, you're alone with the devil. And you got to endure. You got to endure for a greater good. And it's such a picture of under unjust suffering, a person before God doing the right thing and not even defending themselves. It's for free advertisement to the movie. Okay, I know I'm going fast. I'm laying out a Bible study for you to study more deeply. How you doing? Okay, so how does this come about? Does it come about by seeing that I'm not like Jesus, so if I work really hard, I'll be like Jesus? Would the church say no? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. All of the works of the kingdom of people will not put you together again. You will not become like Jesus, no matter how hard you work. And a lot of people have a Humpty Dumpty theology, and it doesn't work. What you need is a change. What you need is God in you. You will never succeed trying to be like Jesus. You are called to become like Jesus. You will never get there by trying to become like Jesus. It's an outside job. So Paul writes in this one verse, Galatians 2:20, the thrust of everything we probably need. And then I've got, you know, a lot more scripture there to build it out. But he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. He identifies with Jesus and said, Jesus died, I died with him. And I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. That's salvation, that's transformation. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Salvation is a process throughout life. We discovered last week regarding being healing communities that the words that the Bible uses for salvation are the whole process of becoming whole, body, soul, and spirit. And it's not the day you came forward at a crusade where you heard the gospel and you repent and you're saved and it's all done. You were saved then, but you are being saved and you will be saved. Those are the kind of tenses in the Bible. The process of salvation is by grace through faith alone. God's grace and then a faith that he gives to you to believe that what he said is true and it works its way out in you. You and I become like Christ because we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. And no more. Through your whole life, never move from the need of God's grace and power working through you. Never step away from that, or you will fall short and you will stop growing. By the way, this message that I'm giving is for people that don't even know Jesus yet, people that just met Jesus yesterday, people that met Jesus 50 years ago, because I guarantee you none of you have arrived yet. I'm sure of it because I know most of you. And you know me and you know I haven't arrived. I'm becoming like Christ. You're becoming like Christ from abiding in Christ. Jump to the last point, almost the last point, not by works but by faith. Yet, real faith expresses itself in good works. I am not saying that how we live doesn't matter. I'm saying if we try to live in our own effort to be like Christ, that doesn't work. What we do is in the context, and this is the very last thing on your notes there, and I'll end it. Just for time's sake, you've got the thrust of this talk. Maybe I'll come closer to you. The thrust is that you are called to become like Christ, and you must be in his word, with his spirit, in the community of faith. There is a faulty theology going around the world that says you can be an independent Christian outside of the body of Christ. It's not in the Bible. God has created the body of believers, communities of faith, and one of the reasons is so that you will become like Christ. Because in the community of faith, in the Word of God and by the Spirit, you will be exposed and you will be forgiven and you will be healed. If you try to do it on your own, you won't get there. I guarantee it, because that's God's design. So, What do we do from here? It's like the day you got saved, if indeed you did. When you come to salvation, you have an awareness that something's lacking and you need a Savior. So you say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Savior. I receive you into my life. Please receive me into your life. In fact, you might need to pray that right now. Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Make me new. And he does. Life comes. And you're good. But then you read his word and you discover that he doesn't like lying, and you know that you're not an honest person. If you then immediately try not to lie anymore, you will fall and you'll be defeated. If you come to him and say, Jesus, I need a Savior. Your word just showed me that I'm not an honest person and you want me to be honest. Come and live inside of me. Fill me with your Spirit. There's a fruit that comes, I know it. Help me, change me, live through me. I'm going to listen to you, and the next time you go to be dishonest, his voice will say, oh, don't do it. And you'll go, oh, stop. And before long, you realize you've become an honest person. Anyone have that experience? You used to be a liar, and now you're not. What happened? You're becoming like Christ. And the whole life is like that, by grace, through faith.